8:38, let's call it 8:39 now. With listener-supported worldwide KFUO, his time on a Friday. That means it's time for the Creation Club, and Pastor Warren Wirth from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri, is in per usual. Good morning.
Good morning, Buzz.
And live instead of on the phone this morning. It's
live
nice to
and
have
in
you.
Person.
Yeah.
So our listeners get to see my smiling face.
Exactly. Right? if we had the, well, if I periscoped it, I guess we could. I don't know if the most of the listeners even know what Periscope is, or even if you do. But on my phone, I have an app called Periscope. And what it would allow me to do is if I wanted to, I would touch the app and then title my broadcast on the web, and I could stand here holding my phone and broadcast to the world on the web.
Okay.
A live picture of what's going on. Now, I'm not doing that this morning. I can do that.
Okay, well, it's interesting to know what can be done.
Yeah, so that is something you can do these days.
What do you know? Technology's amazing.
It really is, but it sometimes puts us in the conundrum of what are we finding where?
What are we finding where, and what does this mean?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Always the important question, and that interpretation of what science discovers is always an important part of what we talk about here on Friday mornings on Creation Club. Before we get into some recent science news, let's talk about something coming up in the St. Louis area. For those who live in the St. Louis area, the Missouri Association for Creation will continue its fall lecture series on Fridays. This Friday, that's today, October 2nd at 12:30 p.m. at Family Vision Library, which is located at 2020 Parkway Drive in St. Peters, Missouri. Today's topic is natural selection. It's not all it's cracked up to be. The speaker is Bill Barnes. He'll examine what natural selection explains and what it cannot explain and how that fits in with what the Bible teaches about creation. So today at 12:30 at Family Vision Library, 2020 Parkway Drive, St. Peters, Missouri, Bill Barnes speaking about natural selection. It's not all it's cracked up to be. Then 2 weeks later, same time, same place, they'll be talking about geology. The rocks cry out. Evidence for a global flood, exploration of radiometric and carbon dating methods. And the speaker will be Scott Jarrus. So we hope our listeners in the St. Louis area will avail themselves of their opportunity to hear these speakers, if at all possible, at 12:30 p.m., October 2nd and October 16th at the Family Vision Library, 2020 Parkway Drive, St. Peters, Missouri.
And if you need to find information, or if you didn't write down that information, you can always Google the Family Vision Library. It'll come up and you'll see that it's thefamilyvision.org.
Also, Missouri Association for Creation. They can Google that and they'll have the list of their upcoming activities.
And that's mocreation.org.
Very good. Thanks.
So we talk about what's going on in the world. What about what's out of this world?
What's out of this world? Yes. St. Louis Post-Dispatch earlier this week had a huge headline above the fold, front page, and, you know, life on Mars, ? And story that's been out for several days, which really is not all that new. It's just kind of a new take on a story that's been around a while, and that is, does Mars have flowing water? And there were many articles online that you could read about the fact that Mars does now have flowing water, new evidence indicates. And you read all the words, and what it comes back to is that every warm season, there are certain lines that seem to streak down certain slopes on Mars that would indicate the possibility of melting water or something. That's kind of what this is all about. Let me read Answers in Genesis has a good summary of the news story and their take on it. The writer of the article is Dr. Danny Faulkner. He is a PhD astronomer, formerly taught at one of the universities in South Carolina. Now he is with the Creation Museum and Answers in Genesis. And the title of his piece that came out on September 28th is Mars Water, Much Ado About Very Little. In the search for life elsewhere in the universe, liquid water is the holy grail. Liquid water is absolutely essential for life, so in the estimation of many scientists, the presence of liquid water on another planet at the very least opens the door to the possibility of life there. While water is a common substance in the universe, the Earth is the only place that we know for certain where liquid water exists. That is, until Monday, September 28th, when NASA officials announced in a press conference the discovery of evidence of liquid water on the surface of Mars. Or maybe not. In a brief paper published the same day, a team of eight scientists claimed spectral evidence for hydrated salts in recurring slope Linnae, RSL, on Mars. What are RSL? They are narrow, dark streaks on some slopes that appear in the Martian spring, intensify in summer, and then fade in autumn. Being very thin, RSL show up only in the highest resolution images of the Martian surface, such as those supplied by the High Resolution Imaging Science Experiment, called HiRISE, aboard the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, RSO. RSL have been known for a few years. The most popular explanation for them has been that they are deposits left behind by brine solutions. That is, they are the result of the flow of liquid water, but there was no evidence of this. A major problem is that liquid water normally cannot exist on the Martian surface. The air pressure and temperature are so low on Mars that any liquid water rapidly boils or freezes. However, the presence of certain salts can simultaneously lower the temperature at which water freezes and raise the temperature at which water boils. With an increase in the temperature range at which liquid water can exist, even in the very low pressure of the Martian atmosphere, it may be possible for minute amounts of liquid water to exist on the Martians on the surface of Mars. Hydrated salts incorporate liquid water into their chemical structure. Also aboard the RSO orbiting Mars is the Compact Reconnaissance Imaging Spectrometer for Mars, called CRISM, which the team used to take infrared spectra of several regions with RSL. In four of the regions where RSL have been seen, the team found infrared spectral features that are consistent with magnesium perchlorate, magnesium chlorate, and sodium perchlorate. At least at one site, the spectral features were stronger when the RSL were most pronounced. Keep in mind that while the infrared spectral features are consistent with certain hydrated salts, this is not definitive proof that that is actually what is present. Other substances could account for these spectral features as well. While the data are not direct evidence for liquid water, it is indirect evidence for liquid water. So, for now, many scientists are convinced that at least small traces of liquid water seasonally exist on the Martian surface. Where would this water come from? There are at least three suggestions, though each one has difficulties. One possibility is the melting of surface or subsurface ice, but that would seem very unlikely in the equatorial regions where some RSL have been found. A second possibility is the discharge from local aquifers, but that seems unlikely for RSL extending to the tops of local peaks. A third possibility, the one apparently favored by the authors of the study, is deliquescence, the absorption of water vapor from the atmosphere, but it is unclear if there is enough water vapor in the Martian atmosphere to do this. The authors of the paper pointed out that deliquescence of hydroscopic salts provides the only known refuge for active microbial communities in the driest portion of the Atacama Desert, which is down in Peru or somewhere, Chile or Peru or somewhere down in South America. This is an obvious pitch for the possibility of a bacterial life on Mars today. In many respects, this is not a new story.
No.
We have known for decades that water once was abundant on the Martian surface. At one time, there was a northern hemisphere ocean as much as a mile deep. Planetary scientists now agree that there was a global or near-global flood on Mars where liquid water, if it exists at all, is extremely rare today. Yet these same scientists would scoff at the idea that there was once a global flood on Earth, a planet awash in water today. Given that liquid water once was abundant on Mars, it should be no surprise that at least a few vestiges of that largesse may still exist in cloistered corners of Mars. At least such a thing is possible in a worldview where Mars is only thousands of years old, not billions of years old. Planetary scientists generally think that Mars has been dry for 2 billion years or more. The question is, could significant liquid water have survived since this time? Even if remnants of liquid water exist on Mars today, that does not prove that life once existed on or exists on Mars today. Furthermore, even if bacteria were found on Mars today, or if it were shown that bacteria existed on Mars in the past, that would not prove that evolution occurred there, any more than the existence of bacteria on the Earth proves that evolution has occurred here. All such a discovery would prove is that bacteria either existed in the past or now exist on Mars. No one has ever observed the spontaneous generation of bacteria or the evolution of bacteria into something else. Besides, bacteria are a long way from conscious, intelligent life. The continued hype about water and possible life on Mars is all wishful thinking of evolutionists desperate from some evidence that evolution of life has occurred somewhere. That's the end of the article by Dr. Danny Faulkner from Answers in Genesis. Do you have any thoughts or responses to that?
You had already given me a couple of other places to look for things, and having read through what was on Quartz, and what was the other one, Popular Science, that article there,
right,
and that, I look at this and just digest it and think, well, okay, so a long time ago, there may have been a significant amount of water there, but now it looks like you can't even check the equipment that they're sending, that they have sent, the probes, all of that. They get there and they can only go to certain areas anyway if they're going to have any chance, any hope of getting anything back.
Right. And the thing is that the water, you have to read a lot of articles and read all the words in the articles, not just the big headlines that suggest, oh, they found water, oh, they found life on Mars. When you read all the stuff and you learn about this magnesium perchlorate and stuff, it turns out that's highly oxidizing, which is not friendly to life.
No.
So that life is not likely, well, first of all, life has never been shown to arrive from non-living matter anyway, on Earth or anyplace else. And so what we know from observational science is life always comes from life. But even if you had bacteria on Mars, these substances, these perchlorates, would likely kill it. They're very toxic. Plus the fact that there's a lot of radiation, plus the fact that it is so extremely cold and extremely dry. You have to really, really, really be have strong faith in your evolutionary belief system to believe that there is or was life on Mars. But again, for some people, that is their religion. They refuse to believe the God of the Bible. They refuse to believe the story of the one who made all things and prefer to believe their own made-up stories, even though they don't hold water. Ha, ha, ha.
Right.
And besides that, stop and think how many times in our lifetime people's ideas about Mars have changed. I mean, when I was a kid, they were still talking about the possibilities of, canals on Mars and this kind of stuff. And they said, well, they're not made by people, but maybe they're rivers and stuff. And, now that we've gotten close-up pictures of Mars and have rovers on the surface of Mars, it's like, whoa, this is a dry, inhospitable place and nothing like the fantasy world of scientists of just how many decades ago was that people still thought such things. But again, that they're wanting to believe that there was or could be life on Mars persists in spite of the evidence, not because of the evidence, but very much in spite of it. And so once again, for us as Christians, what's the take home? The Bible tells us that the Lord God created all things. He did it in six natural days, as he tells us in the Word. When it comes to planets, they would have been created, presumably, the other planets besides Earth, on the fourth day when God, made the sun, the moon, the stars, and the other heavenly bodies. Did God put water on other places? It looks like he did, big deal. That doesn't surprise us. All the other elements that we find on Earth are we find elsewhere. And so it shouldn't surprise us that there could be water elsewhere. Is there life anywhere else? It does not appear that there is. So far, there is zero evidence for that, even though there's a whole field of science called astrobiology dedicated to life elsewhere than on Earth, even though there's zero evidence so far that there is life anywhere but on Earth. But again, coming back to this, for us, God made all things. That's what he tells us in his word, the Bible. If there should eventually be life found somewhere else, you and I would say, well, what do you know? God put it there too. You know, big deal. That doesn't prove evolution. It doesn't disprove the Bible at all. But for the person who doesn't want to believe the Bible and who wants to believe that evolution is the explanation of all things without God, then for them, this is, again, sort of the holy grail, as Dr. Faulkner was explaining before. So that's why they spend so much time, so much money, and hyperventilate every time there's just one minute bit of new information that comes down the pike. That it's really, it's almost hilarious. But it's really sad that people don't want to believe in God, and particularly they don't want to believe in Jesus. And for us, it always comes back to that, doesn't it? So from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is our creator. Jesus is our redeemer. You know, we realize that God made us. We're accountable to him. We fell into sin. We need a savior. Jesus is that savior, the Son of God who died for us and rose again. So we certainly don't want to fail to bring that into this discussion either. And for them, they have their own storytelling in movies. In fact, there's a movie coming out, The Martian, and there were some news stories that I read that were really skeptical about why is this even news? Why is it getting the front page headline? Oh, they're coming out with a new movie, and NASA played a role in the coming of that movie. Apparently, they were heavily involved in that movie. So people think, is this really just a hype up story to plug the movie? Who knows?
Well, I know a lot of people that work in, obviously, the media and in marketing and PR. And what happens is there quite often a series of events that are designed to promote something that's happening elsewhere, that's maybe not, you don't see it directly from them, but it does. It's all in line with something else occurring, like a movie coming out. I can say this from other things that I've seen in the last year, but this is a good example of it. And according to the article in Quartz, it says NASA's hype around the discovery of liquid water on Mars can be explained by its constant need to increase funding for its work.
Yeah. And there's a lot of truth in that, too. They have to beat the drum in the public eye so that they, when they ask for more money, that they have a better chance of getting it. Something else in that particular article that was interesting is that there are treaties that were passed here on Earth back in the 1960s, like 1967 or something, that have to do with the fact that people were worried about contaminating other planets with microbes from Earth. So we try to decontaminate the probes that they sent out there. And there are also protocols about where they can search and where they cannot search for life. And one of the things in that article is even if there were the possibility of life on Mars, according to the treaties, we're not supposed to go close to those possible areas where it would be warm enough and wet enough because we don't want to contaminate them with anything from Earth. So it's kind of a catch-22. They want to find out if there could be life there, but if they do that, they would break a treaty. And that has to do also with the hopes they want to send a human mission to Mars, what, by 2030 or something like this. I think that's optimistic. But there, too, that the thought is if we're sending humans to Mars, are we simply going to contaminate the planet? And maybe they shouldn't even do that. But that's, again, for some people, that's their life's work. That's their life's mission, is to, you know, put a man on Mars.
And who's to say whether or not they're ever going to get the funding to send someone there? But they have a hard enough time getting the money to send anything up. And these days, there's less going on with NASA and more with private companies.
That's
and
true.
How many failures are happening?
Oh, see, that's something. It's amazing to me how many people have signed up to be among the first people to try to go to Mars, and it's very unlikely that they would come back safely.
Yeah. So, and I did notice the last little thing here that you'd pointed out in this Quartz article. The Mars 2020 rover, if it goes up there, it's got a heat generator. So even if it landed somewhere where there's ice, it might melt the ice and then cause a problem that they were all hoping to not have.
Well, I think they want to melt the ice so they can test the liquid. But still, yeah. Nevertheless, then somebody might complain that that also was a violation of the treaty.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Could be.
Okay, well, that's the Creation Club for this week. And thank you, Pastor Warren Worth. And we'll be back at it again next Friday.
See you then.
And for those people that need the information, hey, you can listen to the archive of this program and find out more. Or again, mocreation.org and the Family Vision Library. That event later today in St. Peter's. Coming up after the news, it is morning prayer on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.